The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Now to introduce our broadcast, here's Dr. White.
And I do welcome you to the broadcast today, and I'm so grateful that you are here with us today. As we come into this series that we've been looking at, it's walking through 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. These are what I'm calling the generosity chapters. They are two chapters which have made a great impact on my life and I believe can do the very same on yours. And so we're walking just verse by verse, even word by word, through these fabulous chapters in which Paul is gathering an offering which will be used for the saints who are in Jerusalem who are struggling under a famine. We have looked already at the example of generosity that was given in the Macedonian believers, and we've looked at the motivation of generosity. Now today, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 through 24, and we're going to look at the integrity of generosity. When you give, you need to make sure. You need to have assurance. You need to know that your giving is used for a God-honoring purpose. I'm Dr. Randy White. Let's get right into the sermon. We've been in a little journey here. Last couple of times we've been together. And in this journey, we have been talking about how to take part with a generous heart. Been looking at two chapters, or we're making our way in a journey through two chapters of such powerful and tremendous doctrine as it relates to our own spirit of generosity and how to develop that spirit of generosity so that we can take part in the gracious work that God has allowed us to be involved in and to support it with a generous spirit and our generous finances. And these two powerful passages of Scripture have already given us a great example of generosity in the Macedonian church. And we began there, and then we saw a motivation for generosity that was looked at last time. But today I want to come together, and I want to speak about integrity, the integrity of or in generosity. Now, I have to tell you that this is probably not a message that I would preach on a Sunday morning, as I'm doing here, were it not for the fact that I believe that we should preach through the Bible, verse by verse, and page by page, and chapter by chapter. Why do I say that? Because as I begin to get into the sermon today, some of you might be saying, as you look into the Scripture, that's really not that's not relevant to me. Well, the truth is that it is relevant to you. And the thing I like about preaching verse by verse and chapter by chapter and page by page is it develops within you a healthy understanding of what it is to live as a believer in a community of believers. And today we're going to consider what some would consider to be an administrative matter. I'll leave that for the professionals. And that is, how should a church handle the monies that are given to it for the purpose of ministry? How should a ministry who's given money take care of its money? So let's look at the integrity of those who are given gifts for ministry. Now, we're going to look at 16 through 24, and I'm not going to take them in order today. I wanted to take them a little bit out of order and share with you several things about the integrity of generosity. The first thing I want to do is I want to share Paul's goal. Now, Paul was the one bringing about this offering. He was the one encouraging generosity on the heart of the Corinthian believers, and he was encouraging them to be generous toward Jewish believers who were in Jerusalem and were under persecution and famine and very much needed an offering. And here was his goal in it. It's in verse 21. He says, "For we have regard for what is honorable." Having regard for what is honorable. That was his goal. Now, says, I want to pay attention to that which is honorable. He's in another passage of Scripture, he says, those things that are good, those things that are lovely, those things of good reputation, he says, think on these things. This word honorable actually comes upon that list of things that we're to think upon or we're to put some focus upon. So here he comes and he says, I want to have regard for that which is honorable. And first of all, he says, in the sight of the Lord. That which is honorable in the sight of the Lord. I'm sure you would agree that that was Paul's motivation all the way through. Always, what God wanted was what Paul wanted. After he had that conversion experience on the road to Damascus, he was just consumed in his mind and spirit with pleasing God, honoring God, glorifying God. And here he says, in this offering and in the administration of this offering, we want to glorify God. We want in the sight of God to do what is honorable to him. Now, I pray that's where each one of us is here today, and I think that we would say, if there's one thing that matters to us, it is the glory of God, amen? And desiring the glory of God, we have a good foundation, a good footing, because God tells us that he loves his glory. He loves his glory even more than he loves you and me. He loves his glory so much that he would not share his glory with anyone else. He's very jealous for his glory. And so Paul is right, and he's consistent in who he is as a believer in saying, I have regard for what is honorable in the sight of the Lord. But then Paul says something that really is somewhat out of character for Paul. And that is that he goes on in verse 21 to say, not only to do that which is honorable in the sight of the Lord, but also he says, I want to do what's honorable in the sight of man. Now, that really is uncharacteristic of Paul. You see, most often when we consider Paul, he doesn't seem to give a hill of beans worth a thought on what man thinks, does he? I mean, he often comes, he's just as strong as goat's breath, isn't he? And he will just tell you, this is how the cow eats the cabbage, this is how it is, I'm an apostle, if you don't like it, lump it. And that's kind of Paul, isn't it? So why all of a sudden is he concerned about what is right or honorable in the sight of men? In fact, if you turn over just a few pages to Galatians chapter 1, 4 or 5 pages to the right, verse 6, you'll see Paul's thought about pleasing men as he talks about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to the Galatians, I am amazed, in verse 6, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. You notice he's real concerned. You can already tell in the tone of his voice about how the Galatians are going to receive his word. He says it in such soft and sweet ways, doesn't he? Going on, he says, this different gospel is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, and so I say again, if a man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now that is vintage Paul. Now that is Paul as we normally see him. But here, as it relates to this manner of taking an offering, he comes somewhat uncharacteristically and says, I not only want to please God, but I want to please and do what is honorable in the sight of man as well.
Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE.
Now, I think in doing this, in relation to the offering, he's very likely taking into account some of the teachings that the Lord himself had said about the dealings with money. Let's look at several of them, if you would. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Not all of these have directly to do with money, but they have to do with how we handle ourselves as men among men in the world. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16, now the context here is the disciples being sent out in service, and this was the time in which they were not to acquire gold or silver or copper or take a bag for their journey, or not even take two coats or sandals or staff. And here he says, as he does this, one of the reasons in chapter 10, verse 16 is this: behold, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Now here, Paul says the world is going to be watching what we do. And the reason the world is going to be watching what we do is because the world is in love with money, isn't it? And if money is connected, the world's going to pay attention. It will always follow the money. And so he says the world's going to watch, and so we better be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. As the Lord taught us when he sent us out that particular time, sent the apostles and the disciples out. Now let's look at another passage, Romans chapter 14, verse 16. This passage is not directly connected to money, but it is connected to the freedoms that we have in Christ. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 16, we have an instruction that is given that I believe Paul is practicing here what he preached when he says this: therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Says here's a possibility, because the world's going to be watching on this one, and we're working to accomplish that really which is a good thing, but there's the possibility, he says, in the administration of it, that the world could look at it as an evil, and we don't want that. And so I want to do that which is honorable in the sight of man. Now if you come back to 2 Corinthians and then just turn a little bit to the right to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we'll see one further passage of scripture which speaks about how we walk among men, and especially I think as it relates to our business affairs, even the business of ministry. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Now, Paul, who didn't seem to care about the thought of men. He was not a people pleaser. He was not one who was like one of those preachers Micah described in the Old Testament. Micah described a day in which people would call out for preachers who would ask for their own thing. In fact, in Micah, he says, if a preacher ever comes along and says, hey, let's gather down at the bar and have a beer to drink, he says, that would be the preacher for you. That's the kind of pastor you're looking for. Micah predicted that day. You can read about it in Micah chapter 5, verse 4, I believe it is. Paul was never that guy. He was never that one who was trying to tickle the ears, who was trying to please. But here he comes and says, I want to be honorable in the sight of man as it relates to this offering. And so here was his goal: regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord as he always was, but also in the sight of man as he rarely was. Now, why was this his goal? I want us to consider the gravity of the situation at hand. And we see this as we begin to look in verses 19 and 20. There's so much at stake here. This is a grave situation as it relates to what man could do with that which Paul was doing, what they could say about him. You remember the old saying that says, a lie can travel around the world before the truth can put its boots on. Isn't that true? A lie can travel around the world before the truth can even get its boots on. And Paul was realizing this, and he is realizing that we got to get ahead on this one because of the gravity of the situation.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, there are three words he uses in verses 19 and 20 that speak about the gravity of this situation. First of all, he uses the word gracious. He says, this is a gracious work which we're in. Isn't that beautiful? In fact, he began the chapter, you remember, by talking about how he wanted to speak about the grace of God, which has been made known to the Macedonians. And grace became a key factor in these two chapters. And now he says the Macedonians and now the Corinthians are able to be involved in a gracious work. Now, if you start a gracious work, you want to finish a gracious work. And so he says this work is so gracious, we want to bring it. But I think there's a specific reason why he wants to see a gracious work come to completion and not be sent off track. And that's this. It is a gracious work that is the most painful or the most bitter when it is not accomplished. You've set out to do a lot of things in your life that you never finished, right? And some of them you had a little bit of regret. Some of you of them you had a little bit of sorrow. But most of them you got over it and you say, well, I guess that'll just have to wait for another day. Que sera, sera, right? Whatever will be. I just couldn't get to it. Someday I will. But it didn't mean that much to you. But if you ever started on a gracious work, God was doing it in and through you, and you joined in the matter of God, and you weren't able to complete it, it was a painful thing. In fact, a marriage is a gracious work of God, isn't it? When God brings a man and a woman together, as he did for Adam and Eve, and put Adam to sleep, and Adam woke up and said, wow, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, God has made for me a partner, a helpmate, and he was awed at the graciousness of God. Well, for my marriage and yours as well, a marriage is a gracious work of God. But what happens sometimes when the devil gets in there and pulls that thing apart? There can be no more bitter pain, can there, than when a gracious work of marriage is divided, is separated, is pulled apart. There's no such thing as an easy divorce, is there? I don't even know what the terminology is out there anymore. No contest. All that kind of stuff where everybody will just go along to get along. That never happens in divorce. It's a painful, all the way down to the soul of the division of the soul and the spirit. That divorce works in your life, in your spouse's life, in your children's life, even into the grandchildren's life, because it was a gracious work. Now, every church gets along sometime where within that body of the fellowship of that church, God is doing a gracious work, but the devil gets in there, doesn't he? And there's tares among the wheat, and sometimes that sweet fellowship that God intends in a church, it gets sent out of sorts and it gets divided. And perhaps you've been there, and probably you'd say, you know, I had conflict at work, I've had conflict in the school, I've had conflict in the neighborhood, I had conflict in the club, all those I could live with, but when I had conflict in the church, nothing hurt like that. Why? Because it's a gracious work of God. And when that which is intended to have gracious consequences does not, it like that scroll that John took, it may start out sweet, but it becomes so bitter in the end. So here he says, this is a gracious work, and if it's not completed, it's not going to be like some other task you started and didn't finish. It is going to be painful and bitter if it doesn't continue. And so the gravity of this was a gracious work. He uses another term in verse 20 as he speaks not only the gracious work, but in verse 20 he says, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. It was a generous work that was taking place. So God not only began it in the Macedonians and then in the Corinthians, but he did it in such a way that it was coming out in generosity. And Paul was saying, there's a chance that the administration of the generous work would undo the generous benefit that is to come. And so the administration for Paul was extremely important. Sometimes we want to set aside administration and say, well, it's not all that big a thing. Let's just let the Holy Spirit work, right? And here we see Paul saying, oh, now wait a minute. We need to administer this in such a careful way that the full benefit of God's gracious work is carried out. And it was Peter, I believe, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, where Peter says, make sure that you don't give the enemy anything to any darts to throw at you. That's a Randy White paraphrase, very loosely. Make sure you don't give them the ammo that they need to come at you. Because the enemy wants to. And here he's saying, here's the possibility that in the administration of this generous gift, we could be found unworthy. A generous gift. You see, they had started the collection of this gift a year earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You can read about it. And they were gathering together this gift. They were laying it aside each week, saving up for it, giving as God has purposed in their heart, giving generously. And so now a year later, they had, I don't know what it was, but it was a sizable gift. And because of the size and the generosity of this gift, they had to follow through on it. Now, you have occasions in your life where maybe you lost a dollar or something. You lose a dollar in the Coke machine or whatever. Can you get a Coke for a dollar anymore? I don't know. You probably said, well, I guess I lost a dollar. And you move on. You don't worry about it. But what if you lose $1,000? All of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. I think I better spend a little time on this, right? And Paul is saying, hey, this is no dollar gift that we're talking. This is a gracious work, and it's a generous work.
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494.
And just to close out this broadcast, I do hope the series is being an encouragement to you. I hope that you'll get a copy through our website or send me an email if you didn't get the information. It's randy@randywhiteministries.org. I'm always happy to hear from you, whether you call our number or you send an email. It is always a delight to hear how this broadcast has been an encouragement to you. Now, here we've been walking through these chapters, and we've been partway through this sermon on the integrity of generosity. We'll pick up here, right here, at this same station, this same time, or anytime on the internet, and we'll conclude this sermon in our next broadcast.
We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, Thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And I'm Dr. Randy White on this Wednesday at Friend of Zion. I'm glad you've joined us. You know, the first chapter of the book of Zechariah has a vision. It's a vision in which some horses went out to patrol the earth. And when they come in from their patrol of the earth, they were asked a question about the status of the earth. Chapter 1, verse 11 says, they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet. Now, we would expect from that, I suppose, a very wonderful rejoicing that all the earth is peaceful and quiet. Well, good. We can just sit back, eat, drink, and be merry, right? But the response is rather interesting. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem? Now, all the earth is at peace, but the angel of the Lord asks the Lord of hosts. Oh, how I wish we had more time to look into this, but all I can say to you is that I believe that the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. In the seen pre-incarnate in the Old Testament. And the angel of the Lord Jesus asked the Lord of hosts, that's God the Creator, Elohim. He asked the Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah? You see, our Lord really does have a priority. So many, no doubt, but when he says he's about his Father's business, we see a picture of it right here. Because Jesus speaks to God and says, how long? How long until you take care of Israel, of Jerusalem? It's one of the questions we ask today, as well as we see, in many cases, peace and prosperity around the world. It's not exclusively so. And yet you can't hardly pick up a newspaper, get on the internet to read the news or look into the daily report of worldwide events without hearing of some kind of turmoil in that very difficult neighborhood of the Middle East. We just ask the question, how long until the Lord has compassion? Let's pray together. Our Father, you've instructed us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and it's what we come to do now. And as we pray, we look forward to the day when you will answer the prayer that the angel of the Lord gives here. And you will answer it and say, now is the time. Now is the time for peace. Now is the time for you to establish your kingdom as the Prince of Peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, that prayer is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I hope you'll go to friendofzion.com. I'm Dr. Randy White.